Good morning, and it's a pleasure to stand before you guys once again. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. It is a pleasure and it's a joy to have the privilege to look into God's Word and to study it. And this morning's message, I'm going to take it from Hebrews chapter 1. We're just going to look at two verses, all right? Because we're going to look at the Holy Spirit and the illumination that the Holy Spirit provides to us through God's Word, the inspired Word of God. Am I right on time, right, to be up here? I'm kind of had the second doubt because my schedule's all messed up here. But anyway, that's going to be my point, the working of the Holy Spirit, working through God's Word to illuminate our hearts. Now, if you open up your Bibles, look at Hebrews chapter 1. I like to say it's Paul here, but there's a lot of proof that says it's not Paul, so I'm not really too sure. Whoever it was a twin to Paul, because he's going to bring out some really beautiful points on these two verses. It says, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in the time past to the fathers by the prophet. God spoke to the prophets, and from the prophets, they revealed it to the people. Verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. God speaks to us through his Son. In other words, he's the Logos, the message of God, the Word. John put the Word of God. Instead of putting Jesus, he put the Word of God. Okay, by his Son, whom he has appointed heirs of all things, through whom also he made the world. So God is speaking to us. God is trying to communicate to the lost man. Now, first of all, the lost man does not understand the things of God, because nonsense. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Because that's what I'm trying to say. We'll let the Bible say it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. There you go. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We have Paul, it says in the book of Acts, chapter 9, when Paul was converted, that the scales from his eyes fell. You see, he couldn't see, couldn't understand. Couldn't understand what God was trying to say. God is looking for us. God is trying to tell us something. So now what God is using is the Word of God, the living Word, in order to give us information, to illuminate our lives. The question I have is this: what is God's message to us? What is he trying to tell us? It says, in this last days, God has spoken to us to give us an understanding. Number one, what is God trying to say? Number one, that we need to be saved. We need to have a relationship with him. Otherwise, everything is foolishness, like the Bible says, foolishness. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, please. Romans chapter 3. We're going to look at this and hopefully I'll have the ability to explain it. In Romans chapter 3, we're going to look from verse 23 to 25, three verses. And the Bible says this, you know, what's the message that God's trying to tell us? Number one, for all have sinned. All have sinned. Now, you know what? A lot of times what I used to do, and I still do it, I still have the bad habit, I like to qualify my sin. Well, you know, it's not as bad as somebody else. You know, I'm want to qualify. You know, God's mad at him, but, you know, he knows my problems, so he's going to let me go. No, all, tiny, massive, all have sinned, and we've fallen short of the glory of God. It says it in verse 23. So that's the first message. Second message is this. We have the ability, it says, being justified freely by his grace. Being justified freely by his grace. What is justification? What is it? We're sinners, but God wants to justify it. If you stand before a court of law and the judge is going to give his plea, he will say, not guilty or guilty, right? Not guilty, justified, justified. He said, now we have the ability to be justified. Not only justified, if you look right next to justified, it says freely, free. Justified freely by his grace. Why? Because God loved us. He's doing it for his love. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And when I was looking at the scripture, and we're going to look at the word redemption, but when I was looking at the scripture, I was thinking, why he put Christ Jesus instead of Jesus Christ? Because he wants to point out the Messiah, the Savior. We are redeemed because of what Christ did, when he's trying to point out the Messiah. What is redemption? What is redemption? To buy back something. To buy back something. We are redeemed. See, we are God's creation. God created all of us. Right, we come from Adam and Eve, who fell, and during the process of time, I'm kind of going to get into a little theology here, but if you guys just bear with me, through the process of time came the children of Israel. They were God's beloved people. Now I shouldn't say the word "were." That's not true. They are. All right. But, brothers, does that make us that God don't love us? Does that make us second-class people? See, the Jews thought so. The Jews didn't understand. It was, what are you talking about? Okay? Because they didn't think that us could receive equal blessing to them, because they are God's chosen. It was beyond their no way. No, we have this law. But God loves us so much that he's going to make a new thing happen, something different, something the Old Testament doesn't talk about. You see, I don't want to get off track here, but I want to get into that a little bit. Look at, but we are redeemed as Gentiles, people that have nothing to do with God. God's reaching out and said, come. You could be justified through Christ Jesus. Verse 25, for whom God set forth to be a propitiation. What is propitiation? What is it? It is, brother, to pay a price. To satisfy, to satisfy the dead earth. Anybody ever had a brand new car and somebody hit it? Right, Justin, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not looking at you, but anyway, and somebody hits it and it has this dent in it, you know? And it had these little, I don't know, some kind of little emblem that's almost impossible to find. And they say, oh, I'll fix your car. I'll take that dent out. You say, yeah, you know, you could take that dent out. But that little emblem, it's hard to find. It's impossible. So you're dissatisfied. You're not happy. You know, oh yeah, you got it fixed, but it's not the way it was. Look it. Propitiation means you made it to the point that that person is now satisfied. Wow. It is gone. The anger of the Lord, the wrath of God, is satisfied for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He said this is the appropriate 100%, the amount that I needed for my wrath. And the wrath was taken on Christ. The wrath is taken on by Jesus Christ. No more. The wrath no longer is over us if you have Christ as your Savior. All right? That's a qualify. You gotta be redeemed. You gotta be bought. Gotta be bought. It says, let's look at that, verse 25. To be a propitiation by his blood, by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood offering was going to satisfy the wrath of God, was the offering of Jesus Christ. And this is applied through us through faith, it says there. Applied to us through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because of his forbearance, God had passed over. Does that word sound familiar? Pass over the sins that were previously committed. Because when God saw the blood, God passed over. He's not going to, there's no condemnation. The blood of Christ. What's the message of God? We're all sinners. What's the message of God? God sent a sacrifice into the world that would satisfy his need. And God will forgive. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul writing to the Ephesians. And one of these, the book of Ephesians is like, it's like what I heard somebody once mention that the book of Ephesians is like the Grand Canyon in the Bible. It's deep and it's wide if you look into it. It is deep and it is wide, the book of Ephesians. But we look at chapter 2, all right? Passed over it. Okay, and we're going to look at, there's so much there, but anyway, let's look at verse 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. By the grace of God, we're saved through faith, and it's a work that he's doing, not of yourself. It's a gift that God gives you, all right? And it's freely given to us, okay? So God's message is we're sinners. God's message is we need to be saved, right? But what about, okay, you said, oh, well, I made that. I accepted Christ as my Savior. Now what do I do? Or what is there to do? Let's look in a little bit deeper. What God wants from you. All right? What's the message? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And I want to see some here in Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at as far as being called the children of God and the adoption we have. It says, verse 15 is, it says, For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, or with Christ. If we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. All right, what else, God, is your spiritual life? Number one, do you know, or are you a child of God? Do you know you have been adopted? Remember, I was telling about the children of Israel, God's chosen people, all right? Anybody know about the book of Daniel, chapter 9? Anybody read it? Can I go into it a little bit? It's about the latter days, all right? And things are going to happen. He says, hey, there's weeks, and there's already 69 weeks that have been completed, okay? But there's 70 weeks, and that last week is not completed. And there was a question asked at Sunday school, and they asked, well, what about the rapture? Does the Revelation talk about rapture? Listen, I want to tell you guys something. There's things in the Bible that will be revealed, but Paul says, look at, I want to show you guys a mystery. You know, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, okay? He says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age or this world and the rulers of this world or age. I want you guys to understand there's an age here. Daniel was praying to God and said, God, I don't understand. He's 80 years old, and he was reading the Bible. Back then, it was the prophets. They had the law, the Torah, and then they had the prophets, and he was reading Jeremiah. And he said, hey, there's 70 weeks. We're going to be here. I'm sorry. We're going to be in Babylon for, I think it was 49 years, and they were up to their last year, and he was praying to God. He said, what's going to happen to my people? Well, God started giving him revelations, revelation after revelation after revelation. And he was getting all kinds of knowledge. And he comes up, and with the angel Gabriel, he gives him a knowledge of the end times. He said, look, this is what you're going to watch for. There's going to be the Messiah's going to come. And then he's going to be cut off. All right? It talks about Daniel's seventh week. You guys heard about the Daniel's seventh week, right? Well, anyway, and he says, then the children of Israel, okay? Brothers, right now we are in, it said, God's giving you this wisdom, this hidden stuff. We are in the age of grace in the church. But it ain't forever. God's going to start dealing with Israel again. The Revelation goes back to Israel. Because this time, brother, that God is for the Gentiles, for us to get saved, to get right with God. Because God loves everybody. The hidden wisdom that's from God, he wants to reveal. Now is the time. Now is the time to get saved. Because the time is getting short. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. There's some things, because Jesus says, hey, you guys know when it's going to rain, right? I mean, you walk outside and you see the dark clouds are coming. Hey, must be rain. Or you walk outside in clear skies, no rain. He said, if you could understand the seasons, can't you understand the times? 1 Timothy chapter 3. Maybe it's 2 Timothy chapter 3. Perilous times. Perilous times it talks about. Second Timothy chapter 3. He says, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. He's telling them, okay, when right before Christ returns, brother, the Old Testament doesn't talk about the return of Christ. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find the rapture there. You're not going to find the church. You'll find pictures, but you're not going to find the word ecclesia as far as being saved children of God, baptized believers. And the Old Testament for the Jews, that was impossible. No way that's going to happen. But now, brother, we're living on this time. And it is Daniel's time clock. And the time is running short. But we're going to see this sign. He's saying, look at this sign. It says, in the last days, perilous times are going to come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despiser of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying its power. For such people turn away. Listen, look at this. This is going to be the time. This is going to be the attitude. If I was to tell you this attitude, do you see it now? I mean, before it was in a closet. It's not a closet no more. It's out in the streets. I mean, it is blatant. That's what I was telling Brother John during class. I said, when you were a cop, could you imagine the lawlessness that you see now? Before, you would put the cuffs on him and throw him in prison. And now it's like, don't worry about it. Let it go. You know, lawlessness. And you know what the sad thing is? People stand around and watch it, not even stop it. I mean, there has been reports of girls being raped in subway cars and people sitting there like, none of my business. You know, you're like, hello, brother. It says, look at this. If you could tell if it's going to rain, then the later days, brother, time is getting short. There's been a time for Israel. There's a time for us. And I'm glad you're here because God wants to give you this message. The time is running short. Time is running short. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. There's no 28 chapters in Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. Because Jesus, before he left, he told them. Because they asked him the question. They were bragging about the temple. And they were telling him, Christ, look at this temple. Isn't it beautiful? And you know what? You got to admit, it was beautiful. Herod built it. Herod was an architect and an engineer, and he had a lot of money. Rome was giving him a lot of money to keep the peace and to help him out there. He was just a showboat puppet for Rome, but he was doing the job, and he built this temple, and it was elaborate. And they said, wow, look at this temple. And Jesus tells them, don't look at that temple. You're wasting your time looking at things that are going to be destroyed, right? Then it says in verse 3, it says, and as he sat down on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? Talking about the temple being destroyed. And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Okay, they needed understanding. Remember I told you it was a mystery, but God will reveal it, and God is trying to reveal it. You see, we're living in a day where we have the completed word of God. There's no more revelation. It is all here. We have what is necessary right here. For all the troubles you have in life, the remedy, the medicine is right here. It's done. We got it. Anyway, he's going to say this. He's verse 4, and Jesus said unto them, take heed that no one deceives you. Be careful. You're going to be deceived. There's going to be a big lie. Now, brothers, I want you guys to be honest with me. Is there a big lie going on in the United States? Come on, let's be honest. Is there a lie? Or we're just going to follow the crowd? You know, I look at TV and I tell my kids, this is a lie. It's all wrong. They're just telling you stuff to make you believe something that's not true, right? I mean, everything's totally opposite. Didn't you hear what the president said? I was like, what? Unbelievable. But it's okay. He said, hey, don't be deceived. For many will come in my name and say, I am Christ. In other words, they're going to be the Jim Joneses and Charles Russells and the Joseph Smith. You know, hey, I'm the one. I'm gonna tell you where to go, right? And will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. And see that you are not troubled. All right, for all these must come to pass. It's gonna, yes, it's just signs, you know. It's getting closer, closer, closer. Because what it talks about in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. In other words, you say when a girl's gonna have a baby and you're starting to get labor pains. We had this little countdown game, right? How far are they apart? And oh, we gotta wait till they get right there and then let's go. Otherwise, you'd be sitting there, or they kick you out and say, walk around the block, 5 more. I don't think they do it anymore. They used to make you walk around the block. Walk around the block, you know, until you get closer. Okay, here we go. We're out there walking around. But it's just what we're seeing are the signs of the times. Don't be deceived. Understand. Look it. Daniel talks about this time clock. And we are right there. It says, verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, that is, now, when Daniel says, okay, there's going to be 69 weeks, then on the 7th week, it's going to come this abomination of desolation. In other words, the Antichrist is going to stand up. We are living in the time of the beginning of sorrows. And it's time to get our hearts right with God. Do you know how to get your heart right with God? Is it sending money to an organization? Is it being active and doing stuff for God? You know, making these rituals. How do you get your heart right with God? How do you do it? What is it? It's simple, very, very simple. Let's go to John, book of John, all right. And it says, let's go to John chapter 5, please. We'll go there and then we'll go to chapter 6. But in John chapter 5, and then verse 24 and 25, Jesus talking to the Pharisees, and he's telling them, brother, all the power and authority that's given to him, you know, in 24, and 25. Well, let's go back a little bit further. Let's go to get the full understanding of what he's trying to say. Let's go back to verse 21 and we'll read up to 25. It says, For as the Father raised the dead and giveth life to them, even so the Son giveth life to whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most surely I say unto you, he who hears my word and believe in him who sent me has everlasting life. Catch the word, believe. He who believes. And then it continues, and shall not come to judgment. Remember that word, justified? We're not going to come into judgment because we are justified. But pass from death to life. Now, we were dead or not understanding to having the ability now to understand and to live. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and those who hear shall live. Those who hear the voice of the Son of Man. You know, the remember I told you the Holy Spirit and the Bible is for God's message and God is calling out. Do you hear the voice of God calling out, you know, for you to come and to be saved? Because we are living in the age of grace. The age of church. It's not something that man came up with. It's God's plan. It was revealed. The prophets didn't talk about it. It was a mystery to them. It was, they were like, what are you talking about? Just to get an insight, let's go to 1 Peter 1:10-11. 1 Peter 1:10-11. It says, 1 Peter 1:10-11. For this salvation the prophets have inquired, searching diligently or carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. You see, they couldn't understand. How was a Gentile going to become a member of God's family? It's impossible. They had proselytes. They had Gentiles that became Jews by circumcision and obeying the commandments, then you could participate. But people from other walks, the Babylonians, the Syrians, they said, no way, you know. They are heathens. They have their gods. Anybody know about the race of the Moabites? The Moabites, you know, they were heathens. They weren't Jews or one of God's people. They, matter of fact, come from a relationship between Noah, you know, and one of his daughters. That's how the Moabites came about. But anyway, out of that goofy, the pagan heathen nation of the Moabites came a woman. Her name was Ruth. And met a man that was named Boaz. You guys remember that? She was a heathen. She didn't know anything about it. But she said, hey, Noemi, I'm going to follow you. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Because I have nowhere else to go. And she followed them. So you see, brother, there was a picture there of us. We're not Jews. We are heathens, according to a Jew. But God loves you. There's a time of grace, and you're living in it. And you're seeing the times that are happening, and God's calling out to you. He's calling out to you. You see, and it says that these prophets, they didn't understand it. It said verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ. Whoa, you get it? The Spirit of Christ. Instead of saying the Spirit of God, Peter was into it, man. He said the Spirit of Christ was to come in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. And it says, and to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us. See, it wasn't revealed to them. But now, brother, because the word of God is completed, it's now revealed to us. We could see it. And they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. What are you talking about here, brother? It's talking about us. Now. How is God reaching us now at this time? The time clock is getting closer and closer and closer. The signs are there. Everything that Jesus said, look for it. Look, you're going to see these things happen, you know. And Paul says, hey, watch out, because times you're going to see lawlessness be rampant. You're going to see people's hearts get cold for God. They're not going to want to get close to God. Why? Because it says there in Timothy, because of their lovers of pleasure. Isn't that right? People don't want to come to church and hear about God. Why? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Their hearts are grown cold. Brother, the times are all around us. It's near. Time is now to get our hearts close to God. Now, brother, I'm going to tell you something. You could show the power of God. You could be a representative of God. You could be a light to the world by letting God work through you, being converted, a changed life. Change attitude. God will bless you if you humble yourselves and commit yourself to Jesus Christ.